Exploring the Word is brought to you by Reclaiming America for Christ and the Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. This is Pastor Paul Blair. Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word. Today we're going to be finishing a message that we began last time, preached by my dear friend and co-pastor Dan Fisher. The scripture text that I read as we launched this message was from Romans chapter 12, verse 18, where Paul says, "If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men." Well, as Christians, we do pursue peace with all men. But notice that Paul said, sometimes it's not possible. Christians aren't supposed to compromise the truth of Christianity. We're not supposed to compromise right and accept wrong or accept error just for the sake of peace. As a matter of fact, there comes a time where differences may become irreconcilable.
We welcome you to the radio ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We invite you to join with us for today's Exploring the Word.
Though I realize for some was not ill-motived, it was the idea that the gospel is the most important thing that people are ever going to know, and therefore we ought to do our very best to get them to hear that gospel. I get that. But unfortunately, in the process of marketing the gospel, they've tried to make the church and the Jesus of the church so likable to a world that rejects everything of God that the gospel has been watered down to the point that it is incapable of saving anybody. Not the gospel they preach. No repentance. No sorrow. No pain. No apology. God just loves you like you are. Well, actually, he doesn't. He only loves us in the beloved. He doesn't love us like we are. Like we are, we're despicable and wicked. Isaiah put it like this, we have unclean lips. It is only in Christ. The sooner we understand this in America and in the church itself, the better positioned we're going to be to begin to take whatever steps could ensure for the future a culture in which our children and our grandchildren can function. Because I'm telling you, the one that we have right now is forever lost. It is forever lost. It is my conviction that there's not another election that'll fix everything. We're too irreconcilable. And I'm going to show you in just a moment how irreconcilable we are. But I want you to listen to what Jesus said should be the approach of a believer to someone who rejects critical truth. You remember he sent the disciples out. And in Matthew chapter 10, verses 13, 14, and 15, he tells them what to do if they come across someone who rejects the message. Here's how he says it. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. Now notice there, peace is not just unconditionally granted. He says, if the house is worthy. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. He's saying, wash your hands of them. Separate from them. Have nothing to do with them. Later on, Paul says, come out from among them and be separate. Do not touch the unclean thing. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now, by the way, this is being spoken by the Prince of Peace. So clearly, Jesus does not believe nor teach that it's peace at all costs, and that there are times when the gap is so unbreachable and the differences are too irreconcilable that we are to shake the dust off of our feet, wash our hands, separate, and do not mingle. Now, I don't mean that we're so holy that we're too righteous to be able to be around unsaved people. Not at all. We are to love people and recognize that for the grace of God, there go I, you know, the whole deal. Here he's talking about concepts and the idea that there are some people with whom you just cannot reconcile. You just can't. You can't even coexist. We should be known not only for what we stand for, but for what we stand against. Now, we should certainly be known for what we stand for, but we should also be known for what we stand against. And we should not apologize for standing against a large portion of our culture today. We must stand against it. Now, I'm trying to be careful that I don't get into next week's second part of this message, because I believe there are some clear governmental principles that Christians need to begin to think through. Maybe we'll just begin to take little baby steps personally in opening our minds to some ideas that we've never been open to before. But we have to first get in our minds this understanding that we are at the place where we are at. As lousy grammar as that probably is. But we've got to know where we are. And I've labored over this. In fact, to be honest with you, I've been laboring over this for over 2 years. And I have said things to people in private that they kind of raised their eyebrows. They said, "What?" I said, "Look, I didn't come by this easily and quickly. But if we are to have any kind of a future that is not dominated by socialists / Marxists, who, as they showed us on November the 3rd, will do anything to win, we better begin to think differently, because we can never act differently if we can't first think differently. I would suggest to you that it's really not different. It's thinking like our framing generation did in the 1770s. If you could go back to their period of time, you understand that what they were doing was so revolutionary that it was considered crazy. I mean, just crazy. The British Empire was the most powerful empire in the world. The American colonies were British. People considered themselves Englishmen. That's why Paul Revere was not saying the British are coming. He was saying the regulars are out. He was an Englishman. These people had no desire to not be Englishmen. And it wasn't the tea tax per se. It wasn't the stamp tax per se. I mean, if it just been the tea tax, they probably could have swallowed hard and paid it. It was a whole concept of government without any kind of representation. The idea that we can pass any kind of tax on you we want to pass, or any kind of regulation on you we want to pass, and there's not anything you can do about it. So much so that you have the Intolerable Acts, which basically the Parliament said, we can do anything we want to do to you, and we don't even have to make these things apply to us. We can just make them apply to you only. That was the issue. I'm thinking that if the colonists had had representation in Parliament, and had been a part of approving a tea tax, it had probably reluctantly paid it. But that wasn't the issue. The issue was the inability to have any say in your future. And I'm telling you, if Georgia falls on January the 5th, and those two Senate seats fall to the left, you're going to have a Supreme Court that will never again rule based upon the original intent of the U.S. Constitution. There will be two new states added to the Union that will always vote left in the Senate. Four extra senators that will always be left. The Electoral College will disappear. And in just a few years, how we vote here in Oklahoma won't even matter, because a handful of large cities will choose the president every time. Do we really want to live in a world where we have no say? I'm telling you, we're so close to that, it is unbelievable. But the differences are worse. So I want to illustrate to you by using a magnet. Most of us are familiar with the laws of magnetism and the poles on magnets, and how you can't stick the magnets together if you're trying to stick the wrong ends together, right? You know, it'll just fight you like crazy. And depending upon how strong the magnet is, sometimes you just simply cannot put those poles together. But you can take metal filings and you can throw them down on a sheet of paper and then lay that magnet down, and you can see the magnetic field by the way the metal filings line up. The poles are opposite. I submit to you today that that's where we are in America. We are polar opposites, and you cannot stick those two poles together. Let me illustrate. Those of us who are on the right believe that rights are unalienable gifts from God. Unalienable means it cannot be harmed, touched, tweaked with, stolen. The left says rights are gifts from a benevolent government. And what the government can give, it can alter or even take away. How do you bridge that gap in thinking? Another example. Those of us on the right believe that life begins at conception. That's a human being at the moment of conception. The left says life begins sometime after birth. The governor of Virginia said it could be hours. We'll just put that baby on a table, cover it up, try to make it as comfortable as we possibly can till the mother and the doctors decide what to do with it. Would you have ever thought that was possible in the state of Virginia? How do you reconcile those two divergent ideas? You don't. My point is, you don't. Let's consider some others. Religious expression is a right and is protected. The left says religion is non-essential and must be restricted. Now, the establishment of religion is wording that a lot of Americans today go, well, I don't really understand why they worded it like that. Well, they were talking about the established church of England. That's what they were talking about. Do you honestly believe that when they said that the government cannot establish a national church, they would have defined that as allowing a nativity scene on a courthouse lawn? Do you think they would have defined establishing a national church as allowing a prayer at the beginning of a football game? We all know the answer to that. The reason why the left is so against these expressions is because they believe that religion is nonsense and is certainly non-essential, and they have proved it since March in the states that they utterly control by saying the church is non-essential. Do you realize how close we are in Oklahoma to that being true? I know him a little bit. I don't mean to defame him in any way. But in two conference calls with our governor back early in the beginning of this COVID epidemic, we had a conference call with a number of pastors on the line with Governor Stitt. And Paul, probably 3 to 4 times, we asked him to categorize the church in Oklahoma as non-essential, and what did the as essential, and what did the governor say? Yeah, he would consider it. Okay, first of all, who died left him God and gave him the authority to decide whether or not the church is essential? Do you realize that our own governor is yet to categorize church in Oklahoma as essential service? Yeah. So according to our government officially, the church in Oklahoma is non-essential. Oklahoma! How do you bridge that gap? On the right, we believe that gun ownership is an unalienable right not to be infringed. This is why the Second Amendment says, shall not be infringed. On the left, they believe guns kill people and should be regulated. How do you bridge that gap? How do you reconcile this? I mean, you can see here what's going on. This is an unbridgeable gap that exists. On the right, we believe that private property ownership is a right, and capitalism best promotes that concept. On the left, they believe in redistribution of wealth. That's the goal, and socialism best accomplishes that goal. How do you bridge that gap? Again, you don't. On the right, we believe that closely monitored national borders creates the greatest security for the citizens. On the left, they believe open borders create the greatest opportunity for new Democrat voters. How do you bridge that gap? You don't. Joe Biden is already talking about pathway to citizenship for over 11 million illegals, because he believes that that's basically 11 million new Democrat voters. What do you think he's going to do the next time a caravan comes up from Honduras or Nicaragua? You think he'll turn them back like President Trump did? Of course not. Biden's administration is already talking about how to grab the guns, the scary ones especially. How do you bridge this gap? How do you reconcile? My point is, you don't. You don't. You've gone beyond reconciliation at this point. And then just to kind of cap it off, though we could have listed many. Those of us on the right, we believe that weak central governments and strong state governments best protect the people's rights. The left, they believe weak state governments and a strong central government best promotes the leftist agenda. On the right, we believe marriage is God's design and is one man, one woman. The left said marriage is man's to do with as he pleases. And just kind of a general overarching truth, we on the right believe America is basically good and should be celebrated. On the left, they believe America is bad and should be fundamentally transformed. So that's where we are. It is no longer business as usual. It's not, well, we'll try again in 4 years. Friends, I'm telling you, we're quickly getting to the place where there won't be another 4 years. If the left gets their way this time, there probably will never be another free and fair election. Heck, this one wasn't fair. All of the stuff that Hillary Clinton and James Comey and others have gotten away with. A study came out just a few days ago, I believe it was in Pennsylvania, where 64% of the Democrat voters said they'd never heard the story of Hunter Biden. When asked if they had heard about it before they voted, would it have made any difference? And 9% said we'd have voted for Trump. That would have turned the election in Pennsylvania. When you control the news, when you control what people know, you can control the outcome. This is the world we live in. You used to be able to run and say, well, at least you have Fox News. No more. No more. You say, well, Dan, this is just a bunch of negative information. Well, I don't mean for it to be. But I think until we realize where we are, we're never going to be in a position to actually think something differently. And it's my opinion, we better start thinking. Because we are now divided irreconcilably. So what do you do when you're irreconcilably divided? You admit it. You admit it. And as Thomas Jefferson said in the Declaration of Independence, you start making provisions for a government that will do its job and protect your rights. And you say, well, Dan, that's kind of strong talk. I understand that. I can't make it happen. And there are a whole lot of steps to take between today and whenever that might be. But if we don't begin to think that way, they're going to think for you. And they're going to think for the church. And they're going to think for the Christian. And I promise you, the world that you will live in 10 years, you won't recognize. For years, I've been in the pulpit warning what was coming. And my members over at Trinity would kind of, yeah. My leaders would say, all you want to talk about is politics. Well, that wasn't all that I talked about. It's not even all I'm talking about today. The concept is far greater than politics. It's the ability to live out your liberties and your rights and to preach the gospel freely and to ensure some kind of future for your children and your grandchildren. This is not about politics. I can't stand the Republican Party either. So, we're here. Now, there is one kind of peace that Jesus offers unconditionally. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, Paul said, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus never promised peace with your fellow man, but he does promise peace with God. So in this midst of division, in the midst of all of this irreconcilable differences, I want to ask you the question, are you reconciled to God? You better make sure you are. Because as every week passes, I assure you, you're going to be less reconciled with your fellow man. They're going to see to it. Colossians chapter 1 verse 20. And by him to reconcile all things to himself. By him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. There is coming a day when there will be a kingdom where there will be no divisions. where we will not be irreconcilably divided, but everything will have been reconciled and made at peace through the blood of His cross. Are you there now? Do you know for sure that you are at peace with God? Because if you aren't, friend, when it comes apart, you're going to be in real trouble. Make sure that you know Jesus today. Make sure that you're at peace with God. You say, well, Dan, you haven't given us any answers today. No, not yet. But at least maybe we understand the problem. If we accept the problem, that we might be willing to consider a treatment. But if we don't believe we have the disease, we're not going to be interested in any kind of treatment. I mean, if I don't think I'm really sick, I'm not going to make any drastic changes. It's only when I realize how sick I am that I might be willing to take some pretty drastic measures to correct my problem. It's irreconcilable. So what do we do now? Well, first of all, we make sure that we're right with God. Secondly, we make sure that we're right with brothers and sisters in Christ, because we can be reconciled to each other, because we're under the same blood. If you have running feuds with fellow believers, you need to fix those. You need to bury them under the blood of Jesus and get that stuff cleared up. Yeah, we're still human and we have differences of opinion, but they don't have to be irreconcilable in Christ. God can bridge any gap. You need to bury those. And then next week we'll talk about what might be possible solutions to our world going forward that Christians need to begin to think about. Are certain commitments that we've made in the past irrevocable? Are we stuck with no way out? We'll talk about that next time.
We thank you for joining us for today's edition of Exploring the Word, and we look forward to being with you next time. Until then, may God bless you.
You've been listening to the teaching ministry of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond. We hope that today's journey in God's Word has been a blessing to you. You can find more sermons and resources at our church's website, www.fairviewbaptistedmond.org, or call 405-348-1745. Join us again each weekday for Exploring the Word from Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond.